Somebody needs to have a crucial conversation, wouldn't you agree? With somebody. Well, hey, next week, as Dave mentioned, we're kicking off a new series called Running on Fumes. We're going to look at topics like marriage. We're going to look at topics like parenting, finances, work, and your spiritual life. And no doubt you're running on fumes in one of those areas. So we encourage you. This is a great invest and invite. And we encourage you to take advantage of that and leverage those opportunities. This morning, we want to continue our series in love. You say, love, I thought we were in a series called Crucial Conversations. We are. And when you love people, you'll have a crucial conversation with them. The reason why we don't have crucial conversations with the people in our life is because we love ourselves more than we love them. You see, conflict is inevitable. It's going to be there. Matter of fact, it's the only way that you can experience true intimacy. You know, you can be married and not experience intimacy. Oh, you can physically. See, we think sex is intimate. For many people, that's just an act. Because you really don't know one another. Because you're not honest with one another. You're not truthful with one another. And so what happens is we settle for a form of intimacy, but true intimacy, to be really known, we're afraid of. Because when you go for it, you find yourself in conflict. And why do we find ourselves in conflict with one another? Because we don't understand one another. And the only way that you can get to intimacy is going through the tunnel of conflict. That's why we have to be committed to one another and to be able to say to one another, I am committed to you. And though you frustrate me at times and though you make me mad at times, you know what? I am committed to you because I really want to know you. And so who do you need to have a crucial conversation with? Because here's what we're learning, that if you don't have those crucial conversations, your marriage, your relationship will begin to drift. You see, I think the number one reason why we have divorce today is because of this. We're afraid of conflict. And so we just get to a point of where we drift apart, and what do we say? I don't know how I got here, but I just don't have any feelings for him anymore. I don't know how I got here, but I just don't have any feelings for her anymore. And the reason why is because you never dealt with the issue. You never dealt with the elephant in the room. And that's why we cut one another out of our lives as friends as well. That's why churches split. All because of this habitual avoidance of conflict. And we think that if we love somebody, we're not going to have conflict with them. And you're dead wrong. If you love somebody, you're going to have conflict with them because you're going to want to really know them and you're going to want to lean into that. You see, biblical love has very little to do with feelings. Matter of fact, let me say this. Biblical love has nothing to do with feelings. Biblical love is a choice. It's a choice. I am committed to you. And when you and I care enough for one another that we lean into one another and we're willing to deal with the conflict, we're willing to have the tough and the hard and the difficult and the uncomfortable conversation, people will stand up and take notice. They will take notice because we live in a world of conflict and we stick our head in the sand over it and we suffer because of it. You see, conflict is an opportunity. That's what we're learning. It's an opportunity for you to honor God. Because whenever you're willing to go there, whenever you're willing to say, you know what, I believe that we need to talk more about this, you become a peacemaker. Not a peace faker, not a peace breaker. You become a peacemaker. You become like God because God is a peacemaker. He's the one who initiated to settle the conflict between us and him by sending his son, Jesus Christ. We sung about it this morning, about the blood of Jesus Christ. that enables you and I to be in right relationship with God. And so when you and I have conflict, we have an opportunity to honor God. We have an opportunity to serve other people. Do you know that? The only way that the people in your life are going to grow up, okay? Why is the guy 40 years old and still immature? And you think that you married your brother, your baby brother. Y'all right? Let me tell you why. Because nobody's had a crucial conversation with him. And what happens is we serve one another when we speak the truth in love. And it serves people. That's how we grow. That's how we become mature. Matter of fact, from somebody speaking truth in your life, that's the only way that you're going to become mature. That's the only way that I'm going to become mature. I'm not going to become mature left to my own devices. I will become manipulative, deceitful. And so it's an opportunity for you and I to serve other people. And then finally, it's an opportunity for me to grow. It's an opportunity for you to grow. Because as we've learned, it takes courage. We're going to talk about that in a moment. It takes courage. It takes an athlete. It takes somebody who's willing to train and to be emotionally and mentally strong to be able to go into the arena of agony, and to be able to say, let's have this conversation. And so it's a great opportunity for you and I to serve God, honor God, serve one another, and grow ourselves. And so this morning what I want to do is I want to talk about, so how do you do this? Okay? How do you do this? Once we know that we need to have crucial conversations, once we own our part, like we talked about last week, how do we speak the truth in love? Well, look at this verse here in Galatians. It's from the Apostle Paul. He says, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that means if you've trusted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, maybe you're not there, maybe you're still investigating and you're still saying, I'm not for sure about this Jesus thing, okay, then this doesn't apply to you. But if you say that you are a Christ follower, then this has full implications in your life. If you are a follower of Christ Jesus, all that matters is your faith that makes you what? Love others. See, what happens is your faith and my faith should cause us to love other people. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? What did he say? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor, that person that you need to have that crucial conversation with. It could be a spouse, it could be a boss, it could be a coworker, it could be a friend, could be a son, could be a daughter. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said this, they will know that you are Christians, not by what you believe, but by your love, by your behavior. That's what he says. And what Paul is saying here is all that really matters is your faith that makes you love one another. And Jesus exhibited this. If you study Jesus' life, you'll find out sometimes he avoided conflict, sometimes he resolved conflict, sometimes he created conflict. He provoked it. He induced it. Read Matthew chapter 23. You know what you'll find out? Man, Jesus unloaded on a bunch of dudes. I mean, he unloaded on them. He addressed their behavior. He said, you say you believe this, but you're acting like this. And that doesn't jive. That just doesn't jive. And Jesus was willing to deal with the conflict. You can talk about John chapter 8. You can read that. Listen, Jesus never departed from a crucial conversation. And let me just throw something out to all of us men here, okay? Every once in a while, I'll hear that Christianity is a crutch. I want to lay out a bold challenge. Listen, the reason why we don't do this, men, is because we're cowards. How's that for throwing down the gauntlet? Hey, you follow Christ, and it'll call every ounce of manhood in you. The reason why men do not follow Christ wholeheartedly is because we're not men. Y'all right? So don't ever say that Christianity's for the weak. It calls out everything in you. It will call out your manhood. Ladies, let me have a word for you, okay? It'll call out every beautiful thing in you. That's what Christianity does. But the fact of the matter is, we try to shortcut it. And our world suffers from it. And so Paul says, all that really matters is that your faith is expressing love. And so Jesus never backed down from a legitimate conversation, never. He never looked for a side door. He avoided conflict sometimes because he knew what to overlook. He resolved it, but he also created it. And sometimes you need to avoid conflict. We talked a little bit about that before. Sometimes you need to resolve it. Sometimes you need to create it. But what happens is we have a misunderstanding about peace. We think that peace means I don't have a crucial conversation. Because we say something like this, what, I don't want to rough anybody's feathers. Well, then you're a peace faker. You're a peace faker. And so what happens is we swallow our hurts. We hide our feelings. We repress the truth. We ignore the problems in our life. We pretend that everything is okay. And the Bible says that when you and I do that, it only causes more trouble. Because the Bible says that love rejoices with the truth. Why? Because the truth will set you free. Ignoring the truth will cause problems. Check this verse out here. I believe it's in Proverbs. And it tells us here what happens when we don't have crucial conversations. Someone who holds back the truth will what? Will cause trouble. But the one who openly confronts works for what? Peace. Now, that's not how we think. We think that someone who holds back the truth is working for what? Peace. But you're not. You're causing more trouble. It's the person who openly confronts and says, hey, let's lay all the cards on the table. Let's be honest. Let's be authentic. Let's be genuine. Let's be real. Not mean, obnoxious, or rude. But let's just lay it on the table. Now you're working for peace. That's what Scripture says. You see, if I were to ask you this morning, how many of us believe that honesty is the best policy, we would go. Because we would say to ourselves, what? I know I should be raising my hand, but I don't really know if honesty is the best policy, man. I've got my teeth knocked out before. Or I got my throat stepped on. And yet, biblically, the Bible would say, absolutely. You see, speaking the truth is not such a positive thought. For instance, if I told my father the truth about himself, he'd never speak to me again. If I told my husband how I really feel about our marriage, he'd blow up. If I told my boyfriend this is what I don't like about him, he'd leave me. If I told my wife I'm frustrated with our love life, she'd accuse me of a one-track mind. If I told my boss that what we're doing is unethical, I'd get fired. If I confronted my friend that he needed counseling or help in this area or that area, he would betray me. He wouldn't want to be my friend. You see, love is not easy. Love is not a feeling. Love is not always fun. Love is tough. And sometimes it includes a crucial conversation. It includes speaking the truth in love. And today we want to talk about that because I believe that none of us do this very well. And one of the things that I've shared with the staff at New Point is this. We're going to give one another permission not to do crucial conversations very well. Now, we're not going to be mean. We're not going to be rude. We're not going to be obnoxious, okay? But we might stutter. We might stammer. We might have long pauses. Because we're nervous, we're scared, we want to get it right. And so, you know what? We're going to give everybody a pass on being able to say, you know, because here's what I hear. I hear this way too often. Well, I'm not saying what they said wasn't right, but how they said it really hurt my feelings. Are you kidding me? I mean, what we've learned so far is faith or the wounds of a friend. When I get told the truth, it hurts. I don't like it. No matter how you deliver it to me, there's something that jumps up inside of me and says, I wish you wouldn't say that. And so we just have to give one another permission not to do it well. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't work on doing it well. We need to work on doing it well. But we need to be able to do that. Now, in saying this, you're asking, well, so how do I do it? How do I do this in love? Well, if you want to have a better relationship, if you want to help out other people, if you really want to be a man or a woman, then you're going to have crucial conversations. And I'm not talking about being a moral police, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you and I, though, when we're in relationship with people, we have to be willing to speak the truth. And there's many disputes that are not significant enough. You need to overlook that. And I need to overlook that. But there are situations in your life and in my life that we must speak. We must speak. Now look what it says here in Proverbs 19:11. Here's what it says. A person's wisdom yields patience, and it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Now, overlooking an offense is a form of forgiveness. And you might say, well, when do you overlook an offense? Well, watch this clip, and we'll talk about it here.
Aunt Edna makes the best mashed potatoes.
No, they're very good. Look, there are a lot of very good mashed potatoes.
She uses top-flight potatoes and isn't scared of the butter.
Well, I'm not saying I don't like them. I'm just saying I don't know that I'd put them in the elite category of mashed potatoes. But that doesn't mean I don't like them.
Telling it like it is.
What? They're second-string mashed potatoes.
It works better on the air.
It does work better on the air, doesn't it? You see, what was going on there? You know, he didn't say that her mashed potatoes were horrible. He just said, hey, this is not my favorite. Well, that's not when you have a crucial conversation. Because that's really more about his opinion. It's not about truth. And so, you know, what he should have done is just overlooked it and not said a word. So they're not your favorite mashed potatoes. There's no hair in them. Okay? They're not lumpy. They're not cold. So don't be obnoxious and what? Rude. So there are times of where you and I, just because it comes through your mind doesn't need to come through your mouth. And that's what was going on there. And so to truly overlook an offense, it means to deliberately decide not to talk about it or dwell on it or let bitterness grow up inside of you. That's why the Bible says, above all else, love each other deeply, for love covers a multitude of what? Of wrongs. And so if you can't do that, then you need to have the conversation. And maybe where it reaches a level of where it becomes a pattern or becomes a direction in their life or it's sin. And so how do you know when to overlook an offense? Well, let me give you four questions here. And I think that this will help clear it up. First question is it dishonoring God? Is it dishonoring God? Is this likely to bring dishonor to God? Listen, people who profess to be a Christ follower, when we live in such a way that does not honor God, we need to have another Christ follower talk to us about it. Y'all okay? That's your responsibility. That's my responsibility. What's the number one reason why people don't want to come to church? That place is full of, thank you, hypocrites. Because they say they believe one thing, but their behavior tells me another. And again, I'm not talking about being a moral police. I'm talking about people that you have relationship with, that you know. Not somebody who goes to the second service that you don't know. But if you know people who are dishonoring God and they're saying, I'm a Christ follower, you're obligated to talk to them if you have a relationship with them, if you are their friend. Y'all right on that one? See, that'll call out your manhood. Let me give you another question. Is it damaging your relationship? Is it damaging your relationship? If your feelings and thoughts or words or actions towards the other person has been altered, you're not treating them the right way. You're avoiding them. You know, they go to the second service, and you used to go to the second service, but they go to it now, and so you come to the first service. Hello? You know, you can't overlook that. You've got an issue. You need to go and you need to talk. Is it hurting others? Is there an action in somebody's life that's hurting other people? You know, maybe you're my friend and you see how I responded to Patty or how I didn't respond to Patty. Or maybe you saw an interaction with me and one of our kids. And you know what? It wasn't good. It wasn't on one of my best days. Listen, if you're in relationship with me and you love me, you'll come and talk to me. Because you'll love Patty. You'll love my marriage enough. You'll love my relationship with my kid enough to speak to me. This stuff in the church, mind your own business. You don't know the Bible. Y'all okay on that one? You see, the fact of the matter is, if we are Christ followers, all that really matters is our faith expressing love to one another. And I love you enough, you love me enough to be able to say, Dwight, I think you went off on your son way, way, way too quick and too much. I think it might have been better if you would have waited until you got home. Y'all okay? See, anybody love me enough that you would tell me that, or are you so in love with yourself that you won't? Because when we don't speak the truth to one another, it really says, I don't love you enough to deal with that. And I'm not talking about being a moral cop or a police. I'm just talking about biblical love. If you say that you are a Christ follower, we're called to do that. And then, is it hurting the offender? Maybe they have a behavior. Maybe they struggle with a habit or addiction or whatever. I don't know what it is. And you're their friend. You're their friend. And you need to go to them and say, hey, you know what? I just want you to know I love you, man, and this is hard for me. And I'm willing to risk because I care about you. I don't want to go to your funeral. And I'm concerned. And I love you enough, and I love you enough to risk this, and I understand it may make you mad, but I just want you to know that this is very hard for me to do, but I care about you that much. You see, look what Scripture has to say. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Don't tell everybody you love me, but you don't have the courage to speak to me about the issues of my life. Now, I'm not talking about Bill or Joe who doesn't know me. I'm talking about people who I do life with, who are fellow Christ followers. And so those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. Now, how do we get into this in speaking the truth in love? Let me give you three quick ways in which you and I are called to speak truth in love when we need to have these crucial conversations. The first one is to be considerate. Is to be considerate. Look what it says here. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, and we all are at times, okay, the way in which I responded to my son in anger, okay, was a sin. It was wrong, so somebody needed to talk to me about it. You who are godly, what does it mean to be godly? Godlike. Who is God? He is a peace. He's a peacemaker. Thank you very much. Not a peace faker, not a peace breaker. Should gently, okay, that means that you don't go like a bull in a china shop, okay? You're sensitive, you're caring, you're kind, and humbly, you don't go with an air about yourself. You understand that you live in a glass what? House yourself, and that you have your own issues and you have your own struggles, okay? Help that person back on their what? The right path. So what he's saying here is that you need to be considerate. You just need to understand, hey, you know what? I'm not the police. I'm just a friend who cares about you. And I see this or I heard this and I want to get you back on the right path. And so I just want to bring this to your attention. Now, how are we considerate? Well, look what Ecclesiastes says here. He says, there is a right time and a right way to what? Do everything. So don't pull me over in the hallway in front of everybody. hey, Mason, I got to tell you something about how you're treating your wife. And everybody goes, you know, there's a right place and a right time for that. So to be considerate, you choose the right place and you choose the right time. A time of when they're ready, because I may not be ready to hear it at that time. I might be tired. I might be worn out. I might have just had a long day. You might have just had a long day. And so to be considerate means to choose the right place and the right time. And then look at what James tells us. He says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Be willing to hear them out first. Don't jump to conclusions. Ask a lot of questions. Assume nothing except that you don't know all the facts. Assume nothing that you don't have all the information. Because you never do, right? So that's why you have to be considerate. That's why you have to be gentle. Because there's probably more information that you need to really be able to what? Speak the truth. So don't jump to conclusions. And then look at this right here in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, speak only what is what? Helpful. And I always like this question, okay? Are you wanting to be helpful or are you wanting to be hurtful? See, when we're talking about crucial conversations, we're not talking about, oh, man, this is my time to really unload on them because I've just had all this pinned up stuff. No, the Bible says if all your goal is to hurt, then you're not being considerate. Speak only that which is what? Helpful. The only reason why I'm telling you this is because I want to get you right on the right path. I want to be helpful. To who? According to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So that's being considerate. That's just being considerate. So when I have this crucial conversation, I got to be considerate. I got to choose the right time, the right place. I got to listen before I speak. Hey, Dwight, I'm concerned with what I saw with you and your son. Can you help me? I'm sure there's more information that I don't have. But I love you and I love your son. And bring me up to speed because I want the best for both of you because I have some boys. And so you speak what is helpful. Now, let's learn from this clip.
Hey, Colin, check this out. Not bad, right?
There's 10 dogs on this block alone that can do that. I mean, a trick's a trick. You can bring it or you can't. Checkers has talent, but she never fully developed it. She's a serviceable family dog, but we're not talking Lassie here.
Telling it like it is.
I got a hamster that can do that.
It works better on the air.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think Colin was really trying to be helpful? I think he was trying to be funny. I think he was trying to be sarcastic. I think he was looking for a laugh. You know, all the guy was saying is, hey, look at what my dog did. The guy wasn't saying, how does he compare to Lassie? Colin's the one that brought that up, not him. And so we need to be able to be considerate, helping according to their needs, not mine. It's not to get something off of your chest. It's to help them. And so what we want to do is we want to be considerate. And secondly, we want to be clear. We want to be clear. And we want to be clear in two areas, okay? One is you want to be clear in your motive. Why are you having this crucial conversation? So you want to check your motive. Why do I really need to go and talk to Dwight? Is it really about how he treated his son? Or really is it about something else? He didn't go on the fishing trip with me that I wanted him to go on. And so I think this is a great spot to kind of, because that happens all the time, right? You know, we're really not wanting this, but we're trying to get back at somebody. So you got to be clear. You got to be able to define the issue. You got to be able to define the issue. Why are you having this conversation? So you see, this is, we talked about this, and if you weren't here the first Sunday that we kicked this off, you need to look at it. That's why it takes an athlete. You got to train yourself. You got to be emotionally and mentally willing to strengthen yourself or you won't have these conversations. You'll just go off on somebody. And then you'll quote some biblical verse out of context. I'm just being biblical here. No, you're being arrogant and rude. Because the Bible does not give you and I the right just to speak our mind. Y'all okay? Speaking the truth in L-O-V-E, love. And so you want to make sure that you have the right motive. Because many times, you know what? Our motive isn't right. Look what it says here in Philippians chapter 2. It says, in whatever you do, don't let selfishness or pride be your guide, but be humble and honor others more than yourself. So I have to renounce selfishness. I have to say, this is not about Dwight. I have to renounce pride. This is not about me trying to put somebody in their place. No, what does he say here? He says that you need to be what? You need to be humble. You understand that you know what? There go I. You know, you might say, hey, Dwight, I've done that to my son as well. And you know what? And I'm still trying to recover because my son and I do not have a good relationship because we had too many encounters like I just saw you and your son with. And my heart breaks today because I long to have a relationship with my son and I don't have one. And I don't want you to go down the path that I went. Could you receive that? I could. I would say, man, here's a friend that's trying to help me to learn from his mistakes. And so you're humble and you honor them. You honor them. It's all about helping them, showing concern. Now, watch this clip here and we'll talk about it.
Hey, guys. I think I'm going to ask that girl out over there.
Her?
Carl.
We know how this movie ends, man. Let's take inventory. She's a legit 10, right? Right, and you're a 4.
3.5.
3.5.
I see you more as an online dater.
Which is terrific.
Telling it like it is.
Thanks.
Your shot.
It works better on the air.
Do you see any humility there? Do you see any honoring there? I didn't. I saw selfishness. I saw pride. I saw themselves trying to make themselves look good in front of that girl at the expense of that guy. Would you agree with me? That's not helpful. You know what that is? That's hurtful. That's arrogant. That's rude. That's obnoxious. That's not biblical. That's not godly. Their motivation was completely wrong. Their motivation wasn't to help him. Their motivation, from my perspective, was to look good in front of the girls. And who can we make be the butt of the joke here? And so you got to be clear in your motivation. You got to be clear in your message as well. Proverbs 16:23 says this, intelligent people think before they speak. So what they say is more persuasive. The better you plan, the better you will have a conversation. Listen, when I have to have a crucial conversation, whether it's with staff, whether it's with Patty, whether it's with one of our kids, I always make notes. I always rehearse in my mind. You say, why? Because I get nervous. I know I'm loud up here, but my bark is bigger than my bite. You know, my stomach turns. I hate conflict. I hate having crucial conversations. If I could, I would avoid them, but I've learned that, you know what, Mason, when you avoid them, all you do is cause more trouble. And so what happens is I got to be clear about my message. And so I take notes. I'll have a little card. I teach our kids this. You know, one of our sons, he had to have a conversation with one of his coaches. We sat down. We took notes. And I said, you know what? Let's talk about what happened and how you need to have this conversation. Because you know what? Here's the thing. And this is what I've told our kids. I don't want you to learn this at the age that I've learned it. I want you to learn this at the earliest age possible. Because all of your life, you're going to have conflict. And so the best way that you can handle life and the best way that you can go down the path of life is to be able to have crucial conversations. And the younger you begin with crucial conversations, the better you're going to get at it. And so you got to be clear with the message. Look what Jesus has to say here in Matthew 5, 37. Here's what he says. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. What's he saying here? He is saying be clear. Be clear about what you need to say. No more, no less. Don't embellish. None of that. Just be clear. And so you need to be considerate. You need to be clear. Let me give you this last one. We're done. You need to be able to be courageous. You need to be courageous. And it's scary to speak the truth. It's a fearful thing. And we don't speak the truth and we hide the issues in our relationships that bug us, right? And we don't bring them up because we fear the consequences. And cowardness keeps us from speaking the truth to one another. And we let fear become greater than our love for that person. Why? Because we don't know how they're going to act. We don't know how they're going to respond. We don't know how they're going to treat us. They may misjudge our motive. They may attack you. They may say to you and me, you don't know anything about this. Keep your nose out of my business. So it's scary. But you're courageous and you take the risk. Why? Because you love them and you have to absorb the initial anger or frustration. And I'm telling you, friends, this takes enormous courage. It will call every ounce of manhood and womanhood out of all of us. And we need to be able to do it. Now let me wrap up with this. Some of us are in some relationships that we don't really feel much love towards that other person. It may be a mother, it may be a father, it may be a husband, it may be a wife, it may be a daughter, it may be a son, it may be a friend, it may be a boss, it may be a coworker. I don't know. And because of that, you're stuffing down your feelings. You're stuffing down the truth. You're pushing it all down. And you haven't spoken the truth in love. And you're not dealing with it. And it's killing you and it's killing the relationship. All because of fear. Look at this verse here. See what fear does to us? Here's what it says. It says, the fear of human opinion disables. It just brings us low. But trusting in God protects you from that. You see, what happens is you have to entrust that other person to God. You have to entrust that relationship to God. You have to say, hey, you know what? God is bigger. God is more powerful than what's going on here. God loves me and God loves my son or my mom or my dad or whoever more than I do. And I'm not doing this for my sake. I'm doing this for the sake of this relationship. And God, you know my heart. And I'm going to trust you because I'm not going to allow fear to disable me. I'm not going to allow fear to keep me from doing the right thing. And so we need to be able to speak the truth in love. Why? Let's look at this last verse here. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Wow. See, how do you know if you have true friends? I mean, just this past week, I was at a breakfast, and I had a friend, and he shared some hard truth with me. And he challenged me on a couple of issues. Was it uncomfortable? Sure it was. Was it needed? Absolutely. Did I like it? Not all of it. But you know what? I knew that this guy loved me because he had the courage to be able to say, Dwight, I want to share this with you. You see, look what it says here. It says, he who speaks strong words to a man will later find more favor than he who gives false respect with his tongue. What he is saying here is when it's all said and done, when you and I speak the truth in love, people will respect you. But if you give them false respect and you think, oh my lands, I don't know if I can say this, I don't know if I can do that, and then what happens is you don't get them back on the right path, they really won't respect you. And matter of fact, let me just say this, your self-esteem is tied to this. We struggle with self-esteem. You know why we struggle with self-esteem? Because we don't have the courage enough to speak the truth. And when you speak the truth and you say, hey, you know what, I'm going to speak the truth in love, I'm gonna be considerate. I'm gonna be clear. I'm gonna be courageous. You know what? When I do that, you know what? I'm gonna trust God in that. I guarantee. You know what will happen to your self-esteem? It'll go from here all the way up here because you will know that you're doing that which is right. And it won't matter if you're wearing the right dress or not. It won't matter if you have designer clothes of how it affects your self-esteem. You'll just know, hey, you know what? I was a man. I spoke the truth in love. You know what? I was a woman. I spoke the truth in love. I want you to watch this clip. This will give you a little taste of what we're talking about this morning.